Hey, welcome to the Rookies Podcast. My name's Colin, here with Daniel and Rio. And we're going to spend some time talking about the bus that is Easter and how it rolled over all of us this past Sunday in a good way. But we feel a little bit like we're recovering. And Rio, you can tell us first, how are you recovering?
Well, before we do that, I just want to address that. Colin, we debated putting the episode title and then saying guest starring Colin Coffee because you haven't been on the past two episodes. So hold on. So that makes it now three episodes without Colin. And the only good excuse he's had is I had a baby. So he didn't even have the baby. Aubrey had the baby. So
thank you, Rio, for that kind welcome.
Well, you're welcome, man. So recovering from Easter. So let's talk about how Easter was for us first before we talk about recovering, because I feel like people won't appreciate what we're recovering from if they don't know what happened. But so Easter for us was great. This is my first one with FBC Grayson. Last year, they had about 327 people in a sanctuary that can seat about 270. So as we were getting ready for this, we talked about we probably need to go to two services. Our average attendance had gone up, and we predicted we'd have a little over 350, I think is what we all thought. And so we had two services. We had an 8:30 service and an 11 o'clock service, and we put life groups in the middle in order to get people to have some fellowship. We had coffee and donuts, which numerous people said that should be a normal every Sunday ordeal, and I'm inclined to agree. But so we had those two. First service went great. We had about 197 people there, and so it felt pretty full. And it was kind of interesting how the two services split. We had most of our members who were very active in serving or very just active in other areas at the first service. And so we had about 200 of them. It was great. Worship band did phenomenal. Sermon was okay. I kind of make a rule for myself during Easter that I'm going to preach 30 minutes, sermon 30 minutes, 25 to 30. This is the first year that I've done a one-off for Easter. I've typically fit Easter into the series I was preaching, but Genesis 15 and 16, dealing with God's covenant with Abram and then Sarah and Hagar, didn't seem like an Easter text. Just, you know, didn't know I could get there. So I did John 11, 17 through 27, Jesus's fifth I am statement. I am the resurrection, the life. Talked about how we tend to view salvation as a future event when it's a present reality. And so kind of contrasted that salvation is not a get out of hell free card. And I opened the sermon with a illustration about Monopoly and how we use get out of jail free cards and it's a coveted deal. And how salvation doesn't work that way, that when Jesus saves you, he changes you, he makes you new, that Martha was focused on one day, but Jesus was focused on today. So we kind of did that contrast, very evangelistic in nature, calling on people to repent and trust in Jesus and believe. So I felt pretty good about it, first service. And if you preach more than one service, you know, you often feel bad for the first service because they get the raw sermon. Second service gets the more polished one. But I felt good about it. We had life groups between the two, kind of recovered, spent some time in prayer, and then preached the second service, which we predicted the split would be about 130 first service, about 220 second. And we had 197 first, and then 237 second. So we had over 400 people, which was amazing. No one predicted that, or someone probably did and just didn't tell us. But it was a great Sunday, a lot of first-time guests, a lot of people looking for a church home in the second service. So while our first service had most of our regular attenders, our second service had a lot of new people. And I believe the reason for that is we have an amazing outreach team coordinator named Rhonda Stevens. She's done a really great job of having three outreach events. But for the past couple of weeks, we had one where we went to a couple neighborhoods and handed out a little postcard that had our information. Then we had a event in the community. I'm trying to remember the name of it. And Brittany, if you're listening to this, I know you put it on. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering it. But at this event, we were able to hand out 200 plus of those postcards. And then we went out that next Saturday before Easter and then handed out more postcards in the community. So I believe a lot of the guests we saw were the fruit of her planning and her having a desire to reach the community. So it was fantastic. And Both services, I feel like, went really well. Our band did phenomenal. Asking them to do two services, and I don't think the sermon was terrible, which is pretty much my standard. It wasn't terrible. There was no heresy preached, and we called on people to trust in Jesus. So, Daniel, how'd it go for you?
It was good. Very different than yours. We just stuck with one service. I'll say probably a lot of my recovery from Easter was not necessarily the church part of it, but more like the personal. So my daughter, Merritt, who's 5, made a profession of faith about a month ago. And so I've been encouraging her to get baptized, and she was really excited about it and then terrified of it. Partially because she's super shy. She doesn't want to be in front of people. And partially she has like just a general kind of fear of going underwater. And so I told her, like, I filled up the baptistry on Friday. On Saturday, I said, hey, let's go over there and we can practice. Like, you can see what it's like to be in there. And got in the baptistry with her, and she was just nervous. And so I tried to walk her through, like, what I'm going to say. And then whenever I say, have you trusted in Jesus, your Lord and Savior? I just need you to nod. And she wouldn't do it. And I was like, okay, that's difficult, but okay. And I said, so what about going underwater? Let's try this. And she said, I don't want to go underwater. I just want to put my head down next to it. And I said, all right, we're not doing this. Like, I'm not going to be the pastor on Easter Sunday that gets in the baptistry with somebody who refuses to be baptized. So I said, Merritt, I love you. Let's just go home. So we got out, we came home, explained it to my wife. And I was a little bit, I think for her, like, she certainly knows what she believes, profession of faith. The baptism is probably going to come later, hopefully after the summer, getting used to being underwater a little bit. But church life was good. Although we were welcomed by 2 wet spots in the sanctuary. We have a flat sanctuary roof, and we had a lot of rain come through. I think, Colin, you maybe got some of that too. But I walked in Sunday morning in the sanctuary and saw 2 buckets, like, right in the middle when you walk in. Like, cool, that's going to be great. But our custodian or deacon of grounds, Cliff, took care of it really well. As far as attendance, we were, I think we had 172, which was more than we've had for Easter the last couple years, probably about 50 more than normal. It felt very full, and I was very pleased with that. The sermon, same text you did, John 11. It's one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. My approach was not necessarily, like you said, the future salvation, the future life, but mine was just how Jesus meets us in our grief and in our sorrow. And I just talked about how he didn't expect Martha to come to him, but he went to her and then met her where she was, and the hope that he gives in the resurrection and in the life, and tried to preach just a message of hope, hope for today, hope for tomorrow. And I was really pleased just to see the number of people in the church that I knew were not professing Christians, hopefully just hearing the gospel preached and taking some time to consider it. It was a good Sunday. I want to say it didn't stand out, I think, for me, like, compared to a lot of Easter services, but it was a good day to be in church. How about you, Colin?
Yeah, we had a good time. We did 2 services only because we know it ends up packing some people in that we don't see, you know, normally for various reasons. So we probably had, because of the rain, I mean, our first service was much smaller than we would have normally had, because a lot of people like to come, go to, you know, Sunday school right in the middle, and then they go home and they can get their food ready and stuff like that for lunch. So we probably had about, I want to say, like 50, 60 in our first service. And I mean, it was good because I got to work out the kinks in any of my, you know, application or transition points, which was nice. Then the second service, I mean, we just were packed to the gills because everybody that couldn't make it through the rain, they came. And so we probably had, I don't know, probably 270 or something in that. So I think we probably had close to 300, maybe a little over total, which is, I think, fairly normal. Last Easter we had more because weather was great. So just kind of depends. And that's the kind of bummer for us, is like our parking situation is kind of wonky. We don't have a ton of like paved parking. So if weather is bad, the parking that is last and left for folks is not the good parking. So I think we kind of suffer in that regard. If we're not going to, you know, pave it, we're going to lose some people that'll drive down the road or drive past. So I don't know that to be the case, but just guessing, I would say it's probably happening. Preached on Matthew 28. So I didn't go to John's gospel, but love Matthew along with the early church. Apparently it was the favorite gospel, and just preached, you know, why the empty tomb? Because I anticipate, you know, you're going to get a lot of people that are nominal Christians or folks being there, bringing their friends that they're trying to win to the Lord. So just went through. He came to be a promise keeper, keeps a promise to be the truth. So I did talk a little bit about John and the prologue to John a little bit, but came to be seen and then he came to be worshiped. And the implication is you should worship him if he's risen from the dead. Talked about the minimal facts approach and used that to kind of press in on this is far more plausible that he's risen from the dead. This is a miracle than anything else. You should believe the resurrection, the bodily resurrection. God has done this, and it's an announcement of the kingdom. So it was a fun message to preach. I got, this is something that Rio, you'll make fun of me of. There was a new guy, and we all see those people. I'm like, hey, have I met you before? And he's like, long time ago. And he's kind of being standoffish. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to dig. And I said, do you have a church home? And he's like, well, I talk to God. I don't need a church to talk to God. Okay. I see what's happening here. I said, yeah, that's, you don't need a church to talk to God, but we all need a church family to support us. And we started, and I mean, we were like kind of, I was not trying to get into an argument, but I think I got into an argument with him right before service. And then I was just trying to like winsomely encourage him to like, hey, let's grab coffee or grab lunch sometime. But I don't know if he's going to grab coffee or lunch with me. He was like feeling guilty, I guess, for not being in church. But he wanted to be in church on Easter. It was just a weird conversation. And so that's really what I've thought more about than anything else is that weird conversation I had. So.
See, I'm a turd and a stinker. So what I would have done if I would have heard that is say, yeah, you're right. You can talk to God all you want, not be in church. But someone who's not in church means God's probably not talking to them. But.
Well, there is a way you could do that. But there are other people around him that are not as in church as often as I would like them to be. So I was not going to just like come down with a hammer.
Yeah. But see, like that's my problem, though, is that my instinct is would not to be actually sarcastic with that guy, but it would be like, yeah, and how's that going for you? Just because, yeah. You know, you hear that excuse all the time of, well, I don't need church to be a Christian. It's like, actually, you do, because it's commanded in the Bible. Which God says is his word, and to not follow his word is to easy. You see where I'm going with this. That's just,
yeah.
Me. Yeah.
Should we, this is a provocative question. So tell me I'm wrong, but should we on Easter actually be less interested in those kind of unchurched Christians in some ways than we are? Are we being unhelpful to them by catering to them twice a year?
I don't think we're catering to them with Easter. I mean, we do the, yeah, I think thinking you're catering to them is the wrong mentality with this. You're not catering. You have a mission field you don't normally get on Sunday morning. You have people who, you know, and let's just call it what it is. If they're CEOs, Christmas, Easter onlys, they're either nominal Christians, meaning they've trusted in Christ and they've never taken that step towards greater death and discipleship, or they're not Christian. They're just cultural Christians. I walk the aisle, I said the prayer, you go to church on Easter and on Christmas, we're good to go. So you've got, in a way, an opportunity to preach the gospel cleanly and plainly, or clearly, not cleanly, clearly and plainly to them that you normally don't get, because if you go and talk to them one-on-one about it, it's going to be that discussion of, well, I don't need to go to church, talk to God. But when you're preaching, you get 30 minutes of uninterrupted, here's the gospel, trusting the Holy Spirit to move and work and to convict them and bring them to salvation. Yeah. So in a way, I feel like if you don't take advantage of this, then you're losing an opportunity you don't get other points of the year.
Daniel, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm just thinking through, just like in my context, I'm just kind of reflecting on who I saw there yesterday that I wouldn't normally see. And I think we've talked before, my approach, like when it comes to preaching it, like week in and week out, I'm primarily talking to believers, people that are members of my church that are there all the time. And Easter is one of those unique opportunities where you're going to get a bunch of people that, yes, are there every week, but then also people that aren't there. And so I find myself in that struggle between how do I preach and minister to those that are here week in and week out, and not just the people that are Christmas, Easter only. But I'm talking with Rio about this. He gives me a hard time for overthinking everything. Because I sent him part of my sermon, I said, I just feel like it doesn't fit. It doesn't feel right. And he just kind of encouraged me, just preach the gospel because non-believers need to hear it and believers need to hear it. I think that's just at the heart of what the Easter message needs to be, is the gospel, because believers need to hear the good news that the tomb is empty and the good news that he was on the cross and he's alive again. And then the people who are not believers, who are there week in and week out, need to hear that as well. And so for me, it was, and then we did Lord's Supper as well. And so that was a really good opportunity to talk about remember and proclaim. Remember that he died, proclaim he's coming again. And it was just another way to share the gospel again. By the way, I guarded the table, that this is only for those who put their faith and trust in Christ. And it's not for those that haven't. And so if you have not trusted in Jesus, and I talk about throughout the sermon, if you've not trusted in Jesus, don't come up here and take it. Just stay in your seat and let us celebrate what we believe and what he's done. So, yeah, it's tough, I think, but it's a special day that didn't occur all the time. So take the opportunity to speak to different audience.
So with us talking about what we did for Easter, let's ask the question, and what we've ultimately are going to title this episode. It's Monday when we're recording this. This episode will come out tomorrow. Colin, you can agree with me on this. I think I called you yesterday to ask if I was right. And Daniel, I'm sure you can agree with this too. Preaching once wears you out. Preaching twice wipes you out. And I feel like a wimp because I look at some of my pastor friends who had 3 services on Saturday and 4 services on Sunday. So I'm over here going, yikes. That just sounds exhausting. But the reality is, I mean, if you're not used to preaching multiple services, it wears you out more than normal. So how have you guys recovered, I guess, or are you recovering from yesterday? Did you do anything different today than you would normally do, or is today just a normal day?
For me, I'm kind of leaning on my routine. I like to get back in the office anyways, but I had a lot go on last week. So we had a funeral that we weren't expecting that popped up on Thursday, and then ended up taking one of my deacons to the hospital on Friday, which, praise God, he's doing fine. But just had some interruptions like that that caused us to be a little bit more busy than normal. So for me, it was nice to get back in the office, work on a few things I know I needed to work on. We had prepped for Easter by doing a work day. You can probably hear that train, can't you? It's rolling by. 15 minutes, Daniel. Be rolling by your office. But we have a few more things that I just kind of need to tie up. And so I could work on a few of those today. I think one of the best things to do for Easter is really just use it kind of as a launch pad. And I asked the question because I think you do have to, in some way, reach out to those people. Like you said, Rio, I thought you said it really well. But I want to follow up with them and be really strategic about not wasting that opportunity that was presented yesterday to get to know those people, to see them, to present the gospel to them, and then follow up and then continue to have touches with them, continue to invite them in so that they're feeling invited and it's a welcoming place. They want to come back. They want to, you know, hear more about this Jesus and this gospel that we talked about. So yeah, I get back to work, and we actually didn't do baptism, but we've got several coming up. So I'm looking forward to planning those out.
Mine was, I mean, today for me is just like any other Monday. I just preached one sermon, and so it was the normal. We had family over and stuff for lunch, and so that was a long afternoon. So still took a nap in the afternoon when everybody left, and it was a good day. Came to the office this morning, opened up the Bible, started looking through Genesis again. And so it's very much kind of like you said, Colin, just getting into the routine. But I think one thing that I'm looking forward to, and I stole this from you, Colin, we had a pastor's roundtable last Tuesday, and we were talking about kind of guest services and inviting people and following up. And you had mentioned that you issue a 4-week challenge to people in your congregation from time to time. And so I took full advantage of that yesterday as we were kind of closing out the service. I just shared with them, hey, if you're visiting us for the first time today, we've been here a couple times, I want to challenge you to come back 4 times for 4 weeks, just to see what church looks like here, to see what gospel is preached here, the music, the ministries, all that kind of stuff. and said, because we're having people some join the church. A couple came forward that I met with last week about joining, and I said, they're coming to join us in membership because they love what's going on here. I'd love for you all to join us as well, if this is where God's calling you. And if not, I'd love to help you find a place in town. It's also a gospel preaching church. And so I'm really looking forward to hopefully some conversations that flow out of yesterday, even if they didn't start yesterday. So before we challenge.
See, Daniel, we did something similar to that yesterday. We planned at the beginning of the year to have one of our four Next Steps luncheons next Sunday. So we were able to tell people at both services, hey, God's been moving at our church. Yeah, FBC Grayson's a great family to belong to. And if you want to know more about what it means to be a church member and what you can expect out of us and how we're planning to come alongside you to help you grow in godliness, come back next Sunday and stick around for the free lunch that we have afterwards. And of course, when you mention a free lunch, or at least when I mention a free lunch, I have to joke that Baptists may do some things wrong, but we do food right. And that typically gets people laughing. But I had a pastor, I believe it was Mitch Whidden, who's a friend of mine. He pastors here in Kentucky, told me when I was at Gilead that his goal every year is they take what their Easter attendance was, and that becomes his goal to get his average attendance to by that time next year. So typically, you know, hey, we went from 120 to 170. That's great. Do it. I'm over here going, can we handle 400 people over the next year? It'd be great. And, you know, Lord bless us. And this church has been growing since even before I got here. It's just, wow. All right. There's a lot of need for the gospel. A lot of people without church homes in this part of the nation. So before I ask my question, I'll say I broke from the pattern you two were setting. I took today off. So my week was probably as busy as your guys's. So had, you know, Monday in the office, Tuesday in the office, Wednesday. I didn't teach that night. We had a young man who went on a mission trip come speak to us that night, but still getting ready for Easter. Thursday, typically normal day, but then Friday we had our Good Friday services. Saturday we had our outreach, and then yesterday had our two services. So I told Renee, I was like, look, I haven't really gotten a day off in the past 10 some days, so I'm just going to take off Monday. I'm going to recover, and I'm going to go work out at some point. I'm going to do my quiet time, and I'm just going to chill. So that's what I did today, and it's been great. But also as a joke, so y'all can make fun of me, this weekend was also hard because it was also a national holiday for me in that it was WrestleMania weekend. So I didn't go to bed on time Saturday. I had to watch the triple threat match of Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and CM Punk. And then I watched the GOAT, John Cena, get his 17th WWE Championship last night. So I'm also tired from that. You know, it's been a really exhausting, exhausting week. So, Colin, I could see you judging me right now. You got something you want to say to that?
You shortchanged the people of God so you could watch a scripted child's play?
I mean, it's like watching the NFL, only more realistic.
Hey, as a Chiefs fan, I take umbrage with that.
Oh, yeah, because you actually lost the Super Bowl, so we can't say it's scripted anymore.
It's not scripted. We got our butts kicked.
Or maybe that was a script all along.
Can't have a
I didn't shortchange him. I still went to bed on time, but I was just trying to be funny, Colin.
Yeah. You were speechless for a moment, though, so I just want to chalk that one up as a win.
Yeah, I feel like any chance you get to make me kind of have no words to say, you take it. So, but it's okay. It's been our friendship for the past 3 years. But so with Easter stuff, getting us back on topic, I apologize for Colin having to be rude and get us off topic, but getting us back on to Easter, how are you guys planning on following up now? Is it just the 4 weeks kind of deal where, hey, come back for the next 4 weeks? Do you have anything strategic in mind? Maybe calling people who felt it, connect cards or welcome cards. What are you doing in the next 4 weeks?
Yeah. So for me, it's mostly identifying individuals that were there and then trying to follow up with them specifically. We invited people to do the connect cards. And we just rarely have people fill those out. And so it's there, but it's rarely used. I've already made a couple text messages or phone calls to members of mine that had people that were visiting. So I don't have the contact info for some of those visitors, but I know my member who invited them does. And so I'm trying to figure out how can I help that member reach that person. And so I think I have three or four of those that I'm trying to tackle this week or the next coming week, just to see, like, kind of one of them, a young woman who's atheist, doesn't believe anything, but she's come to my church twice, once to hear a friend who preached a while back here and then yesterday. And so I'm just trying to see where she's at, if she's open to gospel conversations, if she's interested, or if she's just trying to be nice. So I'm going to be pursuing that one. And then a couple of family members of individuals who are members here, just trying to see how I can facilitate conversation or maybe get them involved. So I don't really have a direct strategic plan. It's just making phone calls, sending text messages, inviting people. Pretty simple.
Yeah, I think for us, it's very similar. You want to just find that note or contact card on your secretary's desk, and you can just call and shoot him a text, and you know, we can send him a card. We do that, but it's just hard to get a hold of people. So typically we get connected with folks week two or week three. And I've even found, and we talked about it, Daniel, like the couple weeks leading up to Easter or Christmas and the couple weeks after Easter or Christmas are really important. People want to be in a church that they, you know, are comfortable in by that date. And then if they've stuck around by then, I mean, hopefully we're making a contact with them. So strategically, next couple of weeks, I think, are important. If they come back, certainly connecting with somebody that we've seen before. But our grow teams have been awesome. Tom Lansaw, who's a retired minister, has been leading those, and he goes out every single Monday, or helps groups go out every single Monday to visit people that have visited our church, folks that need care, prayer, stuff going on in their life. So that's been fun. I mean, we've kind of tried to start bringing back old school visitation ministry, and I actually kind of love it. I love it more than pretty much anything else we've done recently. So I'm excited about that. And it's helped us connect with the people that are already here. And I think that's probably the best thing, and the best shift in my thinking is just, hey, don't worry about so much the people that aren't here. Focus on the people that are here. And I can't really do much about the people that aren't here, but I can really love the people that are here well, keep connected with them, know what's going on in their lives, pray for them, pastor them well. And, you know, I think at that point, we hopefully will start to really just have a culture of care and one anothering. And, you know, they'll know us by our love. And that's attractive, you know, kind of in a compelling community sense. We want to have a compelling community of faithful believers that love each other, that are involved in each other's lives, and, you know, invite their family, friends, and neighbors. So we had little invitation cards, and a lot of people use those. So I'm hoping that's something they'll continue to do and follow up with their friends to do. So I like that. I've got a question for you guys also on Easter. When it comes to the church calendar, I had a conversation with somebody who kind of grew up in church, and they said, you know, I really like churches that from Christmas all the way to Easter, you know, it's the gospel story. Like, I like that they're doing that intentionally. And as Baptists and as people who are preaching through books of the Bible, especially lengthy ones like Genesis, we're not always, you know, on the church calendar. But I do think there's a benefit to that, and I have a certain affinity for it. But do you think that can be something that is not as popular now that maybe we should consider doing more of?
No.
Why?
I was being slightly facetious. I get following the liturgical calendar, stuff like that, but in a way, as a pastor of your local congregation, you also need to know, what does your congregation need to go through? What do they need to work through? And, you know, you're also someone led by the Spirit of God to preach the whole counsel of God. So you develop your own calendar, figure out where you're going, where do your people need to know. Again, I refer back to, don't follow just a standard calendar that everyone else follows. Follow what the Lord leads you to do. Again, Stephen Rummage's book, Planning Your Preaching, is immensely helpful. I mean, there's
benefits. I think we're retracing ground that we've already, but I'm asking a different question. Like, I know the benefit
of planning.
I'm sorry.
I might have misunderstood you.
I'm talking about, you know, in a sense that the Gospels ought to be part of our annual calendar anyways. Like, we're already going to be talking about Jesus. We're already going to be focused on him.
When you said the gospel story, I thought you just meant like the gospel.
So, oh, no. The gospel.
I was almost going to say to you, like, I preach the gospel every Sunday.
But
no,
that's
where, like,
my
confusion came in. I thought you were talking about liturgical calendars. So
yeah,
like,
I mean, a little bit liturgical, but in the liturgical calendar, I mean, you are in the gospels intentionally for a set length of time. And I mean, obviously, we can be free from that. But there is a part of me that thinks maybe we've kind of jettisoned a little bit too much, because, I mean, Wendell Lang, who we all love, has said, you know, it feels like in most churches today, and we're all doing this, hey, thank you for coming. Merry Christmas. All right, turn in your copy of God's Word to Romans chapter 8. You know, you get two sides of the sword here. One is the rest of the time, it seems like a departure from what you're already doing to jump into the Gospels once or twice. And then the rest of the time, you have to take a break in whatever book you're going through. So my thinking is, we want to preach the whole counsel of God's Word, but maybe, like, there's something to the 5 and 6 week or 10 week series through Eastertide, through Advent, to spend more time there rather than less time there. Is just a question.
I mean, let me make sure I'm understanding you, because obviously I didn't understand you the first time. So basically, from Christmas to Easter, preaching the Gospels, like preaching a gospel, stories in the gospel, like, just like, so when you talk about that, when you talk about one particular gospel, bouncing around between all four, doing a series of the parables, doing the I am statements, like, what are parameters here?
Yeah, I think all that's free game.
I mean,
and I'm ambushing you right at the end of the episode, I know, but I was thinking about that, because this is somebody, and I think this is pertinent. It's somebody who's not necessarily engaged in church right now, but, like, wants to be, sees the need for it, has gotten busy, but also remembers growing up, man, we were in the Gospels from Christmas to Easter. We were talking about Jesus, and he's wanting more Jesus. He's wanting more gospel, you know, gospels. And there's an affinity for that. But for me too, I think that's something I feel sometimes. And maybe it's just because I'm in Genesis at Easter, and I'm just like, next week I'm going to go back to the Joseph story. I'm going to preach the gospel. It's great. But in some ways it feels disorienting.
So my immediate reaction, this is probably one that you, Colin, I'm so mad at you for introducing this at the very end of an episode, when this could have been a whole different topic. Like, we could have done another podcast episode on this, but now you're forcing me to answer at the end of this one on my recovery day.
This is what people want. This is the content that makes us worth.
This is,
you know,
what
listening
the half
to.
Dozen listeners want. This is what this is what our friends and family are begging us to talk about.
Guys, it's been so nice being back. I'll see you after a break for 3 episodes, because Rio's not going to invite me.
No, I think initially I'll say this. I don't know. So this is just my brain, and again, I'm shooting off the cuff. We need to be preaching the Gospels. I mean, if you're an expository preacher, you can't always just stick with Paul. You can't always just stick with this. But a part of being a good and faithful expositor is preaching the different genres and different parts of Scripture, who are all equally inspired by God. Mm-hmm. And the affinity to the Gospels, obviously, I mean, I get it. And, you know, I'm planning on end of this year preaching the Luke story of Christmas, and then preaching the Gospel of Luke for about 2 years. With some breaks, intermittent between them. But I don't know. I mean, all the Bible is the gospel. And so it's one of those where if you always, every Christmas to Easter, just give people either a gospel series or something like that too, number one, you're not covering the whole gospel. And at times you have to week in and week out preach those gospels to show the people what that gospel writer is emphasizing. I mean, if I do 7 weeks, the gospel of John through the I am statements, yeah, you're going to understand that John is trying to prove that Jesus is God and saying what Jesus said about himself. But ultimately you're missing the theme of believe and live throughout John by just pulling six, seven passages out. If you go into the parables, then yeah, you're talking about the kingdom of God, but are you highlighting what Luke's emphasis is? Are you highlighting what Matthew's emphasis is? Are you highlighting what Mark's emphasis is? And I feel like there's nothing wrong with doing a thematic series in the gospels between Christmas and Easter, but I think there's more richness to preaching whole books of the Bible and not feeling bound. I mean, if I would have had Genesis 22 this Sunday, I would have preached Genesis. Just because I would have tied it into the sacrifice of Isaac points us to the greater sacrifice of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I think it all depends. I mean, like I said, this is the first time I've broke from a series. I've done Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, which is a great Easter passage from death to life. My favorite Easter Sunday was doing Revelation 5. That was really cool to do on Easter Sunday. That was probably my favorite. And then I've done Romans. I did a series over atonement, but I'm trying to think. I mean, I think your people could benefit, obviously, from any series in the Gospels, but I think the desire to take a break from a series for 1 week is different than I'm going to break from preaching through books of the Bible to do a thematic series for 12 to 15 weeks. So maybe that's just my gut reaction. I don't see there's a problem with it, but I also think it's healthier to just preach the book of the Bible the Lord leads you to preach. And if you break for Easter, you break for Easter.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, that's good. We should talk more about this. I have follow-up questions, but it's gonna ruin our episode more.
How about we do this? Let's put a fork in that for now. And or not a fork, a pause, whatever we're calling it.
A pin.
Let's put a pin, that thing.
Got there.
A pin in it. Put a fork in me, I'm done. But
there you go.
Let's put a pin in it. Come to a fork in the road, take it.
But we could let's talk about that again. And again, that's a good question because I mean, I know we've talked about it before with sermon calendars. Do you break for Mother's Day? Do you break for that? By the way, I looked at what my Mother's Day passage is.
What do you got?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Nice. Preach it, Rio. Preach it.
On Mother's Day, here's my sermon title. Don't be gay.
I had Lot and his daughters on Father's Day one schedule, and I was like, no, that's not happening. We're not preaching that.
Doing it.
Going anywhere else in the Bible.
But I mean, we've talked about this before, though, of when do you break from a series, when do you not? Mm-hmm. So that could be a good topic for the future. Colin, so I appreciate the question. I wish I would have had more prep time because I feel like I spoke off the cuff, and I may be saying stupid stuff right now, which is just pretty much everything.
It's good. It's good. But I think the encouragement that we should all take away from Easter, especially people that are, you know, serving in the church, is that God always uses all of our efforts. It's worth it. Man, I really respect those people that like uproot themselves and go somewhere else outside their building for Easter. I don't know how that happens or how they do it, but unless I hear an audible voice from the Lord, I probably will never attempt to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. When I was at Gilead, they had sunrise services. So it's where we would partner with the Christian church, do a sunrise service. And someone asked me here, would we ever do a sunrise service? And I didn't have a good answer because I went, well, I see the benefit. But right now I'm thinking preaching at 8:30, preaching at 11, preaching a different sermon at 6:37. Maybe not for the foreseeable future, but I'm not opposed to it. But that'd be another thing. Maybe next year before Easter, we talk about, do we do sunrise services? Mm-hmm. But anyway, guys, well, it's been fun talking to y'all about this. Colin, I'm glad to have you back. I will make sure that Daniel doesn't put guest star Colin Coffee in the notes today. Just come back next episode, please. But just to update everybody, I think we talked about taking a break during the summer, correct? So we might do one episode after the annual meeting for the SBC because we're all three going. And then But for the summer, we're going to break. So I think we have two more episodes probably coming out after this. Mm-hmm. And we'll try to make them somewhat good. I feel like if we're going to have a season finale, we ought to, you know, make it big. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But Colin, Daniel, you got anything before we get off?
Trevin Wax shared something by J.I. Packer on what we should be thinking every time we approach the Lord's table. And I was going to tell you about this, Daniel, because I thought it was so good.
Yeah.
And you made me think of it. But he says, we should be saying in our hearts, as sure as I see and touch and taste this bread and this wine, so sure it is that Jesus Christ is not a fancy, but a fact, that he is for real and that he offers himself to be my savior, my bread of life and my guide to glory. He has left me this rite, this gesture, this token, this ritual action as a guarantee of this grace. He instituted it, and it is a sign of life-giving union with him, and I am taking part in it. And thus I know that I am his and he is mine forever. That is the assurance that we should be drawing from our sharing in the Lord's Supper every time we come to the table, which that's good at Easter.
That's really good.
That's good. Yeah. And all right, well, guys, it's good seeing you. Sorry, that was good. It was just, we already been going for 41 minutes and we said this would be a 25 minute episode.
It's his day off. Really, yeah. Go home.
No, look, Daniel, you can close this down. I'm tired. Colin, you're pretty.
He's still recovering.
Right.
Dude, you need to like get some supplements or something. Like, you're way too worn down right now.
No, it's 100% because I decided to go get my workout in before recording this. And I told you before we started that I decided, hey, I lifted pretty well on deadlift before I got fat and I was 18 to 20 and I've lost some weight and I can go ahead and probably get back up to close to that weight. And I could not. I could not.
Attaboy.
So I'm just tired now. I mean, I finished the set, but I might not be moving tomorrow.
And then you have another day of recovery.
you need to roll those muscles out, bro.
That's right. All right. Well, closing us out. You got more to say, Rio, but save it for next time. Colin, thanks for joining us. Rio, it's good to see you again.
I was just going to say, follow us on social media, all that.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.